Dan, why don't you go ahead and talk about our next topic here, Virtual PC 2007.
Thank you. Yeah, Virtual PC is a wonderful tool to use for setting up alternate environments of Windows, you know, installed on your machine. So you can install and actually run several different copies of Windows at the same time. So for example, you can set up a domain controller and test an Exchange server and have them work on a private network so they don't even touch the outside network and really handy for setting up testing environments and training environments and things like that. So each machine has its own copy of the operating system running, and you can switch between those separate images just as easy as you can switch between applications, just switching from one window to another. So you can download it from the Microsoft download site. The kinds of problems that we often use with Virtual PC. Now, as a developer, I use it for everything. I mean, all my development environments are in it. And that way I can set up, Visual Studio 2008 with SQL Server 2008, and I can have 2005 with SQL 2005 on it in a separate machine, and they don't step on each other.
It's kind of like a developer's best friend.
It's a developer's and a tester and a tester's best friend. So you can set up the same environment that your customer has or that the person that you're helping support has. You set their environment up on your machine, and that way you don't have to mess your own machine up, your own machine configuration up. So it's free. It doesn't cost anything, and it's actually quite performant if you set up your virtual PCs appropriately and manage them right, keep them defragged and stuff. So that it's really, really a nice tool, and every developer should use it. So it's great for isolating beta software, from your main development machine too. That's one of the really key elements there. Now there's an undo changes disk option. Now that's not on by default. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But you need to turn that on if you want to use the undo disk. That's the idea is that as you're working on the machine, it's saving the changes into a separate disk. And when you finish and you're ready to shut down, you have the choice of whether you commit the changes that you made to the machine or not. Let's say you've got a web browsing machine set up and you download and install some software. You want to save that. Of course, you're going to commit the changes. Well, you might surf to the wrong place and get a virus. Well, if that happens to you, you just turn the machine off and don't commit the changes, and no harm is done to your machine. So it's a great web surfing environment, in fact, even.
Any other questions so far on Virtual PC? Yep, right in the back.
I'm not done with the demo yet, so it's...
Yeah, that's right. my question is, how many undos can you have on Virtual PC?
Okay, so the answer to that is you can run one undo at a time. It affects the current image that's running. So basically at the end of the job, like when you're ready to shut down, when you have the choice at that point to undo or to save the changes. So it's the whole session undo that you're working on. Yes, only one.
Well, go ahead, Sam.
Okay, so I've got the Virtual PC console up on my machine here. Now I'm running Vista, and on Vista you have to run Virtual PC as administrator. Otherwise you'll get an error saying that you have a read-only file. So you have to be sure to run it as administrator. And you can see that I've got a number of virtual PCs set up on my machine. Like I said, I use this for lots of things. Here's the Oslo PDC image and a Visual Studio 2010 CTP that I've been working with. So these are environments that I don't want on my live machine, but I want to be able to work with on a daily basis. You can see I even do some Fortran development, which is kind of unusual these days, but I do have a data analysis application that runs in Fortran. All right, so, and you can see that at the bottom here is a Windows 2008 base image that I've got running, and it's paused. So if I switch over to that very quickly, to that image, you can see that the screen is gray, and if I go to the action menu and say resume, it'll actually just turn it back on. So it's not using any resources while I have it paused. It's just sitting there waiting. All it's using is some memory, okay? Now, I'm going to full screen this by using the Alt-Enter key, and now it becomes my machine. So everything that I do here, the taskbar is from this machine. I keep my taskbar on the left. And you can see I've got the server manager for this image up. So I got Windows 2008 server running here, and I do most of my development in the server operating system. So I have Visual Studio installed on here and stuff. So now back out of full screen mode, take a look.
It's kind of like running another computer inside of a window.
It is exactly like that.
Yeah.
And it does take some resources on your machine. You've got to have plenty of memory on your machine. And you have to generally have pretty good CPU in order to make this thing work well.
Just out of curiosity, how many folks here have used Virtual PC? Show of hands. So a good number of you have used this. So we'll also show you a few tips and tricks and some of the settings in a little bit as well.
Kind of preaching to the choir here then.
Yeah, that's it.
So under the edit menu, there's you can edit the settings for this machine. Of course, you can't change a lot of them while it's running. You have to change things like the memory size while it's shut down and then start it up. But you also can use the physical drives on the host machine. You can capture ISO images.
That
so if you just
cool.
you just have an ISO file sitting out there, you know, a .ISO file, which is an image of what's on a DVD, you can just connect to it directly as if it was a drive. And you do have to use, if you're connecting to an ISO image that's larger than like 3.5 gig, Virtual PC won't do it by itself. Okay, you have to use a tool like Daemon Tools to actually mount a larger ISO image in that. So a lot of the big downloads you get from MSDN might be bigger than 3.5 gigs. So you have to use a Daemon Tools or something like that to actually mount that drive. And then and that gives you the full access to the thing. You can capture the floppy drive as well. And if we take a look down in the bottom bar, you can see that down here are some other controls for capturing ISO images and using the physical drives on the host. I can actually connect to the drives on my host. I can also down here share folders, so I can actually, like, you know, have a space that I can share between the host machine and the running virtual PC so that, for example, I have a place that I can copy files and pick them up in another virtual machine. You can cut and paste between virtual machines and the host as well. So it all works as you would expect. It's very, very nice and slick. So let me take a look then at the console, and here on the file menu is a couple of wizards. So there's a new virtual machine wizard, which is used to set up virtual machines. And if I just walk through this very, very quickly, you can see I can create a brand new virtual machine from here. I can actually add an existing virtual machine. So if I copy an image from another machine or I'm reusing it, you know, I can just pick up that image and plug it in. So if I go through the new virtual machine, you give it a name here, pick which operating system you're going to install. So for example, if I want to install Server 2008, you can see the default hardware selections. It just picks a 0.5 gig of memory for me and a virtual disk of 65 gig. And here I can also adjust the amount of RAM that's used, so I can actually, you know, crank this up to essentially a 4 gig if I want to. If I've got that much, you know, physical memory on my machine, I can adjust the amount I want to use here. And as well, I can either create a brand new virtual disk or I can pick up an existing virtual hard drive and kind of plug it into this image that I'm creating here. So lots of options as I walk through here, and here's the checkbox for enable undo disks. All right, so that actually turns it on by default in the image. Now that you can set it on in the settings for the image as well later on, but and so you can turn it on and off if you want.
So the big thing to note there, it's not on by default.
It's not on by default.
And I would always do this approach to standards right now. Even if you get an existing VMC file, I never ever double click on that and start it up because I don't know what the settings are. Right, so if I bring it up and that is not set, then guess what? I'm forced to save the changes and my image is no longer pristine when I do it. So I always go through this approach and then I make sure the settings are set up correctly.
Right.
All right. So that's something to keep in mind. And I'm telling you, that one feature alone of being able to undo changes, if anybody here is doing any kind of presentations or anything, do you ever go to a presentation and see the presenter say, "That was working last night," right? And then it wasn't working, you know, when they did the demo. That's because they didn't reset something correctly, right? Something
right.
is different on their machine than it was yesterday. By doing that and saying undo everything I just did, you are guaranteed, right, that image is exactly the way it was when you just did your demo. And so it's an automatic reset is really what that is for you.
A lot of training companies use that too. You know, they have a classroom of people come in, they use the image, and at the end of that session, they just shut down and don't save changes. And when they start it up for the next class, it's back to being a clean machine again. You don't have the other person's garbage in there. So I use undo disks all the time. In fact, I have several images that I use for presentations specifically, like Russ said, I can just shut them down at the end of my presentation and I know that it's ready to start up clean at the next presentation. So I'm going to hop out of that, the new machine wizard, and I'm going to go to the virtual disk wizard and show you a couple of the options in there. So as we walk through this quickly, again, we can create a new virtual disk or edit an existing one here. If I create a new one, I can create a hard disk or a floppy. I'll just go out and give it a default kind of quick location here. Let it take the default name. Now, here are the options. So dynamically expanding is what I'm typically going to use for a new disk, you know, so that the thing will, it doesn't actually allocate the total amount of space that you ask for at the beginning. It only allocates the disk on the host as you use up disk space. So if you say you want a 100 gig hard drive and you install Windows, you're probably only going to have, you know, 5 gig taken up initially, but it'll expand all the way up to 100 gig if you give it that much room. You can make it a fixed size if you want, which actually can give you better performance because you can allocate the entire block contiguous on the host, okay, rather than allocating it as you go. And another really, really useful function is this differencing disk. So, and Russ and I use this quite a bit in our presentation. Oh, yeah. So he'll give me a base image, and I'll create a differencing disk on top of it. So that initial image stays clean. In fact, I can create multiple differences on that same clean base image. And what it does is it just saves the changes that I make on top of that in a separate file. So it keeps that base image perfect, and it doesn't ever modify what's there. And that way, you know, we can, it actually gives you the ability then to kind of share, you know, that big chunk of disk, and the difference disks are often quite a bit smaller than a whole drive would be. So,
That differencing disk, I'm telling you, that is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, think about it now. You can have different versions of the betas. You go beta, release candidate, yep. RTM, and you could set a different diff file for each one of those as the product progresses, keeping the core base image the same. You know, so now you just got a tiny diff file as opposed to the behemoth, you know, setup. And if you're working with a team, that's really good. You can, you know, ship around and put a pointer to that diff file, and it's not as cumbersome to move around than the original VPC.
That's right. And then the last option here, linked to a hard disk, you can actually sort of allocate a hard disk on the machine as the virtual drive. So it's another option that you have. So if I just choose dynamically expanding and move on, then it lets me choose the size here, the maximum size of that drive that I want, and so on. So I'm not actually going to create the image here. I just wanted to kind of walk through and show you. So the last really neat feature then, if I bring my image back up, my Server 2008 image, when I'm finished using it, I say action close. Now I have some choices here. I can save state, and it's like suspending a machine, so it starts up much faster the next time. Mm-hmm. I can actually shut it down, or, you know, shut it down normally. You know, it'll go through the shutdown process. Or if I'm in a hurry, I can just turn it off, and it's gone. Bang, it's out of memory. And this is just the nicest, one of the best tools that I have in my toolbox. I use every single day.
How about that?
Just don't cut it no more. Want a big pipe carrying 200 megabits of pure excitement right to my door. Got an SUV with six-wheel drive with 300 horses. I never deprive infrared sensors for climate control. Zero to warp speed and ready to roll, cause I'm a toy boy out on the fringe, and he who dies with the most toys wins.